Good evening. How's everybody doing today? So now I understand why Pastor Anderson usually preaches on Wednesday without a shirt. It is hot. I didn't realize how hot. You know, I come from Texas, but, I definitely did not think it was going to be this hot. So, we always tell everybody, oh, Texas is great because everybody complains about the heat. And we can handle it, but I might need to take back some of those words. But anyways, I want to first thank you all for having me here. I want to first thank Pastor Anderson and Mrs. Anderson and the entire family. I also want to thank Brother Segura for the hospitality. We got in here way too early. I came with my kids. My daughter's birthday is on Saturday, and so we took advantage to just have a couple of days where I'm going to spend some time with the kids. And we got here like at 7 o'clock in the morning. Just I was like, what am I going to do for the next 8 hours? But We were able to figure it out. And I just want to thank the Faithful Word Baptist Church for hosting me. I know some faces here, but most of you guys I'd love to meet afterwards. So thank you for just hosting me and the kids and having us here. And then I just want to give you a really quick, just very quick synopsis of, you know, what the impact that Faithful Word has had on my life. You know, I got saved when I was 25. That's a longer story, and you guys, I'm welcome to. You can talk about it with me later on, but the biggest thing just is the impact that it's had on even the subject that I'm going to preach today. You know, I would never have imagined to be in an environment like this, let alone be a preacher. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, and people said, well, you should become a preacher, and I was like, I would make fun of those guys. And of course, thank God, that was a false religion, but, you know, the Lord just led in different ways, and one of the ministries that really impacted my life is not only Pastor Anderson, but this church and the things that you guys are doing. As a matter of fact, I was able to speak to Brother Segura for a while today, and I was like, man, I got some really good ideas just from all the stuff that you guys are doing. So I was really encouraged, and if I take nothing back, I just took some really good ideas with me. And then, sorry, I'm just getting used to this pulpit. Being short, it's kind of hard sometimes. I feel like I'm having to look over you guys. I might end up moving around here a little bit. And then, you know, the only other thing I wanted to just say to start off is I'm not going to be preaching on queers and fags and whores. But since it is a safe space, I figured I'd let you guys know because, you know, there's not a lot of places where you can say that. And there's not a safer space. You know, snowflakes have their safe space, but we also have our safe space, right? But you're there in John 8. And the title of the message this afternoon is The Truth Shall Make You Free. And I thought about it. I thought, what do you preach to a church that's well-fed? And the thing that you do is you just feed them again, you know? And so really, as I kept thinking about it, I was going to go through this, like, elaborate process when Pastor Anderson reached out in April, and I was going to have, like, this checklist of titles and topics. And then the Lord just laid this one on my heart immediately, like, a week later, and then I've just been working on it on and off ever since. And so the nice thing is I did truthfully have this set in stone like a couple months ago, but then the events of the last few weeks have really just made this sermon even more important. There's a couple of things I just want to point out, and you guys are there in John 8, and what I want to point out is I feel like a sermon like the one I'm going to preach today will either have one of two impacts. It'll feel really simple, or it'll feel like you really got something really deep, because it's a subject that's actually really deep. And even today, I won't even touch the surface. You know, speaking on truth is just something that's really difficult because everybody has their opinion on truth, but then there's absolute truth. It's not difficult in the sense that truth is truth, but it's difficult because we deal in society, and society decides that what you say to be true can be actually divisive or hateful or offensive when we know what it is to be true, right? So you're there in John 8, and in verse 30, the Bible says, "And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." And I love all the conditionals in the Bible, right? If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And we know that salvation is not enough to get the rewards here on earth and in heaven, right? Salvation is enough to get into heaven. We're saved by grace. But I think sometimes people miss the point because we preach, you know, an easy salvation that we're just going to give up and not preach the rest of the counsel of God, right? And so we actually don't believe that. And it's interesting that the easier we make the gospel message, the more we're willing to preach on all the other parts of the Bible, right? And that's really what I'll focus on. Then verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I want to just, I normally don't do this, but I thought it would be interesting. John 8 is really interesting, right? Because Jesus comes to the temple, and I almost feel like you're reading through the book of Job, except it's not the miserable comforters, it's a bunch of reprobates, right? The Pharisees. But it's this back and forth, and it keeps escalating. Every time that they rebuttal Christ, it gets worse. The mockery and the assault and the attacks to the point where they're just be like, we're just going to stone him, right? That's what they wanted to do. So you look there, he shows up at the temple, and immediately they bring the woman in adultery. And I love the way that the Lord reacts, because we're going to be speaking on truth, right? And liberty and trust and these topics. And immediately he questions the motives of their heart, the true motives of their heart, right? They all leave. And like I said, I'm just doing a very brief overview. Then Jesus speaks again in verse 12, and while he's in the treasury, and he speaks of his true testimony, and the Pharisees, they don't believe, but then immediately in verse 22, they mock him. So they already start the mocking, right? And in verses 21 through 27, he speaks of dying in your sins, and if you believe not in Jesus, and they still don't understand. And then you get to verses 28 through 33, because he speaks again, he's going back and forth, and Jesus speaking to everyone again. Some Jews believe, but they're not the ones that answer, right? It's always like the crowd that hates everything. And we know that at the time, we see other examples in the New Testament where some Jews believe, but they didn't want to speak up for fear of the other Jews, right? And so we know that's a fact right there. And then verses 34 through 30 says Jesus speaks, and he really reiterates the truth and freedom and makes distinction of like the flesh of Abraham's seed versus the spirit, which is the devil, their father. And then right towards the end, he clarifies that if they were of God, then they would understand, they would believe the Father and they would believe him, but who's their father? The devil, right? And so they discredit him in front of the multitude. They're like, who's this Samaritan? And not only is he, who's this Samaritan, but he has a devil. Like, he's demon-possessed. And then Jesus speaks back, and obviously he rebuttals them. He's like, I don't have a devil. I'm speaking to devils, but that's a whole other thing. And what do they do now? They mock him, and eventually he tells them that I am, and what do? They pick up stones to stone him, but it wasn't his hour yet to come. So just as a way of introduction, what I want to do is I want to get a clear understanding of truth, right? And so, because we want to know what is that makes us free. And if you look up a dictionary, it's interesting. Some words that you look up in the dictionary, they kind of twist. But then there's some words that you just can't twist. I mean, truth is truth, right? People understand this concept. They don't want to accept the concept, but they understand the concept, right? I mean, the word truth is just, and I'm not going to read you all the definitions, by the way. There's a lot of them. But it's just a true or actual statement of fact. But what I love is it gives you the antonyms, right? What's the opposite? It's falsehood. And I, like I said, it might feel very simple, but it's not. And I'm going to get to a point here, but you have conformity with fact or reality or verity, but then you also have what? Falsity. And it just keeps going back and forth. But then another thing is there's a really strong correlation between the word truth and the word true. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to read you a little snippet here in a little bit of the word true, and I'm just giving you a disclaimer. I'm going to have to pronounce a German word, so I hope Mrs. Anderson doesn't hold me in high contempt on that. So I hope I don't butcher that word, right? But the word true means being in accordance with actual state or condition, conformity or reality of fact, not false. So in other words, in order to have truth, you have to understand what true is, right? And then you want to have something that's real or genuine or authentic. But the one that really stands out to me is not deceitful. We're going to spend a little bit of time on that. And then I love this one, firm in allegiance, loyalty, faithful, steadfast. I mean, they might as well just have taken the scripture and put it in here, right? It would have been better to describe this. And I'm not going to go through these for the sake of time. But you're there in John 8, and go to verse 13. Let's just focus on a couple of verses before I get to my first point. Let me just get a drink. Right there in John 8, in verse 13, the Bible says, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto him, Though I bear a record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, and I judge no man. And yet if I judge, The judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now skip down to verse 24. It says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So, I mean, what I mean by that, like, even the sermon today, Jesus is being real simplistic here, and I'm stopping here, just, he's making it blatantly obvious, and they still don't get it, right? And then some of them in the middle believe, and then I'm pretty sure there's a group in there that's just like, they're not totally convinced because of this other group that's in direct opposition, right? We see there in verse 25, it says, then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. So we just got to come to the realization that some people just are never going to understand, right? We also preach it, you know, we know it's the reprobate doctrine, but sometimes we get so caught up in the fact that these people are so far gone that, you know, it's just like this big spiritual battle. But also, we then get frustrated when people don't get what we're saying, right? But you got to come to terms with, sometimes people just don't get it. They just have a hard head, right? It doesn't matter how many times you tell them, how many times you preach to them, they're just not going to get it. As a matter of fact, it makes me think, you know, in Isaiah 6, when he says, how long, Lord? And he says, till the streets are desolate. He says, I'm going to shut up their eyes, make, you know, he basically says, they're not going to get it, and you still preach the word. So our duty is not to get people to understand, although that should be a purpose of ours, but really the goal is just to preach the word of God, right? We don't know what the result's always going to be. I mean, you look at a ministry like this, and I remember listening to Pastor Anderson back in like 2008 or 9, which for most people, it's rare, but you know, him and I are a similar age, and some young kid who was like military school, and he was the son of my mentor, like came for a summer, and he's the one that introduced me to Pastor Anderson like a long time ago, but I would just listen on and off, and the impact wasn't until almost a decade later, right? It wasn't just him, of course. I'm in the Word and doing things, but these are the things that you just got to preach it because you don't know who's going to get it. Some people might not get it right away, but there's still a chance that they're going to get it. Go down to verse 30 right there in John 8, and the Bible says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. But here's the thing, when we're speaking the word, even though a lot of people aren't going to get it, some people are going to get it. And you say, Pastor, you know, you point out the obvious. Yeah, but sometimes we miss the point. We get caught up in rabbit trails, and these rabbit trails detract you from the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I'm going to make some points on that just even on with current events, right? And it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, if ye continue in my word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Then go down, I'm sorry, I should have told you, skip down to verse 40, I had them all together. Then skip down to verse 44, that's why you guys are looking at me weird. Skip down to verse 44, and it says, ye are of your father the devil. I hung out with Brother Segura too much, and now I'm high strong as it is. If I hang out with someone like that, we're both are just going to like, we're going to see who can race the fastest, right? I'm going to be the Energizer Bunny, he's going to be the Energizer Max, right? So just keep up with me. But verse 44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. This is an important point, right? Just keep that in mind. It says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You know, when we're talking about trying the spirits and discerning, this is a good set of scripture of how to discern who is of God and who isn't. Because, you know, I'll hear this statement, you know, I know you guys hear it out when you're soul winning, right? Oh, well, what about their fruit? Well, what about it? Yeah. Right? Yeah, right? Some people don't have fruit. Everybody wants to argue fruit. You know, I mean, my children are the fruit of our, you know, my wife and I. That doesn't mean they act like me or, well, they look like me. I'm sorry, but that I can't help that. But they don't always act like me or do things like I do. Sometimes they do them better. Sometimes they do them worse, right? So the first thing I want to focus on right there is go over to Jeremiah 37. That was just my intro. No, I'm not going to keep you guys long. I know some people say that. I really got it focused in. But the first thing I just want to give you, we see this. If you look at Jesus' ministry, he doesn't focus in the middle. He doesn't really focus in the gray. He's always truth or deceiving, right, or false. Light or darkness. And I think, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes we miss that point. A lot of times we miss that point. You know, in the last week and a half, we had a murder attempt, right, an assassination attempt. We had, I don't know what, some virus or code that got sent through and all the computers or half the computers in the world went down. And then we thought Biden was dead, but he's not, right? That's what they told us. And then now we have a whore that's running for president and he resigns. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff. I was telling somebody, like the highlight for me actually, because I don't follow politics that much, but I didn't know, that was the only thing I did watch was, you know, I watched the Hulkster. I didn't know the Hulkster was in politics. I grew up watching, you know, wrestling and WrestleMania, and everybody loved Hulk Hogan, right? You wanted to take the vitamins, and you'd buy a T-shirt only to tear it. But now it's like the leaders of the free world are like, let's bring Hulk Hogan to the stage. And not only that, I mean, you would think maybe he made a change. He's serious. No, he literally tore his shirt off. Thank God he had another one underneath, right, to tell us about the Trumpomaniacs. You know, and how they need to take their vitamins and say their prayers, because what you gonna do when the Trump comes for you? You know, I mean, seriously, that's the world we're living in. This is when this is so important. Because people get caught up in that. And you know what? There's a ton of Christians that are actually saved by grace who think Trump is their savior. And there's actually Christians on the other side who think Kamala is their savior. Right? At this point, aren't they all, like, unified? I mean, it almost seems like, you know, we're headed somewhere. But the first point I want to make to you is we want to look at what the world's definition of truth is. It's really interesting, right? I looked this thing up. I was like, what is truth defined? I was kind of blown away. It says, according to the world, well, I mean, it says in my notes, according to the world, these are the types of truth. There's absolute truth, complex truth, objective truth, empirical truth, relativism, aesthetic truth, moral truth, arithmetical truths, religious truths, science, normative, subjective. And then I just stopped there. I was like, man, this is insane. Right? I mean, literally, it's insane. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you, but you guys turn over to Jeremiah 37. But in 1 John 1, 5, it says, this then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And what I want to focus on here is a couple of things. If we don't take action on the word of God, it's a sin, right? It's not just enough to read it. It's a sin. And we know this stuff, right? But what it is when we take a world view of truth, not only is it a sin, but it's also deceit. And I didn't focus on be not deceived. The Bible does warn us a lot about that. But I wanted to focus on the verses that I chose are about deceiving ourselves. I think the reason the world gets deceived so easily is because we're very good and innately well programmed to lie to ourselves. And I think it's time that Christians just take a deep look inside and just own up to your mistakes. And you know, don't be Trump. right? I know more about the internet than anything. And have you ever seen that clip where they splice all the how he knows everything about everything? And it's insane. I wish I was making this stuff up, right? He's like, I know more about infrastructure than anybody in the world of infrastructure. You know, I know more about oil and gas. And I'm like, dude, one of them, I know more about the internet than anybody else in the world. I'm like, yikes. Maybe that's why we're having the problems we're having today, right? But we need to stop taking this position of lying to ourselves. You know, because as I thought about, what do you preach to, you guys have, you know, Pastor Anderson, he's deep in the Word. He's dedicated his entire career to preaching the Word of God. Whereas some of us came later, you know, I had a whole career in another life. And I look back and I'm like, now I know, do you remember watching, I don't watch movies anymore, but do you remember watching movies and like the character would have one life and then they would like, the scene would cut and there was like, they were leading another life and then there was cut and you felt like they led different lives. You know, now I'm not even that old, right? But I look back and I'm like, oh, that's a whole different life. My kids will never even know that part of my life. My wife doesn't even know that part of my life. Like just things that just, life just changed so much. But when you wholeheartedly dedicate your entire life to something, you know, that's why you're able to feed a flock like this, right? And so what you want to do then is, or at least in my opinion, if you come somewhere like Faithful Word, is just to reemphasize what's already been preached, right? Because honestly, the danger of trying to preach something new is, first of all, you shouldn't preach something new unless it's in the Bible. But if you're trying to preach something that doesn't line up, then you're just going to create, you know, challenges. And that's never the goal. But you're there in Jeremiah. Let me just read for you really quick in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, in this instance right here, who is he talking about? The wise in the world, right? And what's that wisdom? Vanity. You know, I love that word vanity, because that word vanity just means fruitless, void, with no purpose, right? Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Like, you spend time trying to figure out, because the one thing I told our congregation back home, I was like, you wait. By the end of the month, we will have called out like the end of the world, you know, the mark of the beast, the man of sin, right? Like the false prophet. Well, I mean, all of it. We're just going to call it all out. And everybody's trying to figure stuff out. And at the end of the day, the truth is that the world, the devil is a liar and he's there to deceive you. So who cares what the truth is? The truth is he's trying to destroy, right? Who cares if it was one shooter or three shooters or seven bullets or five bullets? What difference does it make in the grand scheme of eternity? But Christianity's like, oh no, you know. I mean, you guys know. I mean, as a matter of fact, I've made it a point to try to stay offline because it's nuts. Right? I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff like, hey man, make sure you have all your prepping material. And I was talking to my wife about it. You know, I don't remember where we were going right before I came here. And I told her, you know, because I used to have a prepping mentality. Just so you guys know, I understand where they're coming from because I've been down the conspiracy black holes. You know, when YouTube was great, I was up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning dooming myself to death, right? Like, my wife was like, what are you doing to yourself? You know, as a young, new Christian, you know, in the milk and not the meat. I mean, I went down as a matter of fact, I don't even want to admit what I went down, right? Like, it was just horrible. And the thing is, you're going to prep for this disaster. We just had a hurricane. It took them about a week to get us all in order. Let's say that you have even a year or two of prepping material. At some point, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run out. You're going to run out. And now what are you going to do? At least if we're in the battle, like we'll have figured out a system, right? We know who the corrupt ones are, who we can barter with. If that's really how the world's going to be. But if you've been cooped up for 2 years eating your own food and protecting yourself and you have to come out, you're like a deer in a headlight. The world's changed. They're really going to eat you up. Like, you're just wasting your time. Not even to take away from the fact that you shouldn't leave because you need to be out there soul winning and preaching the Word of God. I'm just talking in general like how these people think, right? What's the logic behind that? What are you looking to gain? You're deceiving yourself. You're just playing games. Go to Jeremiah 37, or you're there already. And it's interesting, you know, when people ask me what I think nowadays, I used to get in the arguments, right? You try to prove. That's an ego trip. Now I just preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, if someone doesn't even, if I can't discern that they're saved, I don't want to talk about anything else. Oh, what about the mark of the beast? What about it? I don't want to talk about it with you. Like, because we know they don't understand, right? Or if I'm just simply telling you what I think, you know, I try not to do that. Instead, what I want to do is tell you what the Lord says. Because the role of the preacher, and you know this, is to preach the word of the Lord, right? If you go there to Jeremiah 37, the Bible says in verse 6, it says, and by the way, just in context, we know Jeremiah is always preaching hard to the nations, to the people of Israel. Like, Jeremiah's rough read, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Lamentations. I mean, these are some hard judgments, right? There's, I mean, there's good in there, but for the most part, it's like you guys are going down and you guys are going down. It's like everybody's, because they've all fallen away. And you get there, you're there in verse 6, and it says, then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt in their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. And one of the things I grew up, I got here in 1985, so I was 5 years old. So I grew up in the United States. I speak perfect Spanish for like a, you know, every day, but my English is way better than my Spanish. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a point where I have to start translating. But the one thing, remember, whoever's old enough to remember the good old 80s and 90s, that'll never happen in America, right? And what are we doing? We're deceiving ourselves. People, I mean, the good old patriotic red, white, and blue, apple pie, you know, baseball eating Americans, that'll never happen in America. And God said, you sent a you sent to inquire my word from the preacher. Let me tell you something. Don't deceive yourselves. And that, what are we doing right now? We're deceiving ourselves. Oh, J.D. Vance, I don't even, whatever. Kamala, and all this stuff, right? Everybody's so excited. It's just entertainment. You're deceiving yourselves. You're wasting time. You're not redeeming the time. And I could go into other stuff, but, I mean, that's just like the most current. And I would like to think, I mean, I hope I'm not just, you know, reaching at straws, but you guys are just, you're human by nature, right? And so you're going to probably get sunk into some of that. I mean, I like to admit that even as hard as I try, you know, I listen to one or two, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then I'm like, what am I doing? It's ridiculous, right? I think it was 3 shooters, by the way. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know how many shooters it was. But the angle of the bullet, I'm just. But there, go over to John, go over to the book of John, go to John 16, and also the book of Psalms. These are the last few places I'll have you be as we round this out. But in Romans 7, the Bible says, in verse 11, says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceiveth me, and by it slew me. And that's the problem with America today, is we're living in sin. And we tout it with virtuous, like moral, you know, platitudes. Oh, I'm anti-abortion, or I'm, but we don't talk about Christ. You know, and I'm going to show you some verses here that are really just kind of telling about some of this stuff. And right there in Galatians 4:16, this is just a good transition to my next point. Says, I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, right? And the thing that we want to focus on is, we as Christians, we don't believe in all these truths. We only believe in the first one, right? Absolute truth. Amen. I mean, and I know that's hard sometimes, but the Bible does give us those answers. And when you come down to it, when you start believing in absolute truth, you're going to get sanctified, number one, but you're also just, the world's just going to start hating you, right? You'd be surprised. In my life, I want to give you, because you guys know your pastor better than I do, right? In my life, I've talked to Pastor Anderson maybe in person, maybe four or five times. One time I had him for a while because I was his soul winning partner. I didn't even get his phone number, like his cell phone number, till like 2 years ago. I sent him one text. He never replied. I'm just giving you an example of where I'm headed with this, right? And then when he invited me through Facebook Messenger, like, you know, the messenger, because I think he had sent me an email and I didn't check it, and so he reached out. But you would think that him and I are like the best of buds. Like that I could just show up to Arizona and like say, hey, where's my room? And I'm gonna stay there. Because the way that people have ostracized just for even being in the same vicinity is amazing. But it's not Pastor Anderson. It's the Word of God. And I think the difference is some people like telling that story because they want to have the attention of Pastor Anderson. I like telling the story because then it points me to truth, which is the Word of God. I don't care who that person is, whether it was Pastor Anderson or Pastor whatever. The fact that the Bible is accurate, right? It says, look, if you start believing on these things, and it just so happens that it lines up with what other people believe, it's not everybody, these things are going to happen. And then when they happen, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense, because that's the Bible, right? Go, you're there in John 16. I'm going to try not to butcher this. I wrote it down because I don't want to sound like a Kamala Harris, but hopefully that doesn't come out. Oh, and maybe this is not the one. No, this is the correlation between trust and truth. Further in the sermon, I have like a tongue twister, and I hope I don't butcher that one. But, you know, the words, here's a really interesting fact. The words truth and trust have a shared linguistic root in the Proto-Indo-European word deru, which means something that is firm, solid, and steadfast. And in this example, they said like wood. Some say that truth is based on the concept of trust. Possibly, though, the Proto-Germanic root, travas, which means belief and faithfulness. So you need to have truth, but you also need to have trust. And what's interesting is you can't have trust if you don't believe the truth. And you can't, you know, have the truth if you don't trust. So, I mean, they really are tied together. And that's what, you know, makes us stand out. So they're in John 16. You guys are there in John 16. This makes me think, when I read these verses, of the Republican and Democratic Party today. But it also makes me think of all the virtue signalers, right? Today, there was protests, because Israel's in the house, right? Right? You know, we say H-Town's in the house, or Israel was in the house today, and everybody was excited. Not me, but everybody else was excited, right? And the only stupid thing I heard just a quick snippet, like I think it was 5 seconds, of Netanyahu saying that we will win. Win what? Victory's ours. Amen. God's given us the victory. Amen. I don't know what you're looking to win, but at the end, you're going to lose. But go to John 16, and you're there in verse 1. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And then skip down to verse 13. Says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, that second part, that's the goal of not only every preacher, but everybody here. Your goal should be to speak with the Spirit lays in your heart. But that first part, it says that whosoever killeth you will think they do it for the service of God. I actually did try to follow a couple of the, because I was really interested in what the show was going to be after the attempted assassination. So I tried to watch a few snippets of the Republican convention. I mean, you can only stomach so much, right? I mean, really, when Dana White and Kid Rock are there, like, it's like, come on. Like, the final day was just, like, the worst, right? It was, like, Hulk Hogan, Dana White, Kid Rock. I was like, what is this? Like, is this Woodstock or something? I don't know. But what the one thing that stood out was how much they mentioned God. Even though they had Wahoo Weehoo present on the first day, like, they kept mentioning God and God and God. And right? I mean, the ladies, they wear, like, the big American flag shirt with the big earrings and everything, and Christ is our king. These are the people that think they're going to kill you, and they think they're doing a service to God. They're going to go around thinking, we're doing the Lord's work, because they're deceiving themselves. They have no absolute truth, because they're not seeking the Spirit. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And just like I said, keep your fingers there. In the book of John, we're going to jump around in John, but go back. You're going to be back in John. Bible says there in Psalm 119, in verse 151, it says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. What's interesting is the progression to 151 from verse 41 in Psalm 119. We get to Psalm 119, verse 41. Just go back a few verses. Bible says there in verse 41, it says, Vow, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I love this verse. It says, And I will walk in liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And, you know, you see, I mean, obviously we know Psalm 119 is this great psalm, right? It's about the word of God. But we like sometimes hearing these verses, but we don't like executing on these verses, right? We like truth, we just don't like absolute truth, right? Christianity likes saved by grace. They just don't like when you question their salvation, right? I mean, who are the hardest sometimes to reach? Oh, I'm saved. Okay, well, what is it that you believe in? I don't have time for you, right? Or I already know. I settled that a long time ago, and you press them, and they give you all the wrong answers. You're like, you're not saved. And then they get offended, right? And that's the challenge. Look, the reprobates are going to do what the reprobates are going to do. We already know that. But the lost world, the only way we're going to win the lost world is to continue staying the course, right? The true course. And I'm not literally just saying true like in truth. Like, that's actually one of the definitions, right? If you're on course and you haven't deviated from it, what? You have a true course, right? It's deeper than that. So go over to John 1. Actually, go to John 3. Sorry, I just got one quick verse. Go to John 3. But in John 1, verse 17 says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, right? He's the foundation. As a matter of fact, I thought of bringing, because I've seen some of the pastors, they bring good props. But I was like, you know what? It's my first time. Let's not mess something up. But what I wanted to bring was, like, we know that there's those fake rocks, right, where you put a key in there and all that stuff. But that rock wouldn't do anything. Like, you couldn't break a window with it. I mean, this is a cheap plexiglass window or something. But you couldn't break one of these windows. But you know, we think of what's a true rock, a rock that's going to do some damage, right? But that's what the world sells you. It looks like a rock. It feels like a rock. But inside, it's just devoid, right? The Bible says their rock is not our rock. Our rock is Jesus Christ, right? And so right there in in John 3, verse 19, the Bible says, And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so we need to take action on truth. Look, I'm not preaching anything you haven't heard before, but the Bible says that we are his little children. And for you single guys, you might not know, but once you have children, repetition is the mother of skill, right? And it's the father of learning and the grandfather of character. I know now why they say it, right? Because one of the things we do is, don't do that. Don't touch that. Don't do it. Come here. Sit down. Stand up. Follow me. Why did you say that? Stop it. Stop. You know what? Hey, we sound like a broken record. Sometimes I just catch myself, like, what am I doing? Like, I just what is going on, right? That's how it is also in the Christian walk. Sometimes you find yourself answering the same questions. Didn't I just preach on that last week? Didn't I preach on that a year ago? But, you know, I always love, I tell people this, like, immediately. I love the people that come up to me and be like, Pastor, what do you think? Do you think it's a sin? As soon as that, when that starts, I already know where we're headed. I'm like, yes. If you have to ask me the question about it, it's a sin. Right? But it's like, we have to just drill it. And drill it and drill it. And you preach truth, and you preach truth, and you try to show truth, and you try to do truth. And people are like, I don't know if you're preaching truth. And it's kind of like John 8. God, Jesus is like, I am true. I have a witness. You know, this and that. They're like, this guy's nuts. He's got a devil. He's, you know, let's kill this guy before he does any more damage. And we have this, like, bipolar country, and we need to bring them together on Christ's truth. Because the reality is just a two-headed monster. Look, I know for a fact, I served as a chief of staff for a council member in the city of Houston, which is the fourth largest city in America. And at the time, the mayor of that city was Anise Parker, which if you don't know who she is, she's basically this reprobate lesbo who's just one of the most wicked people that's ever lived. And I witnessed the show. And they would get up there on the dais and they would beat each other up and they would say all kinds of insults to themselves. And I mean, I remember being prepared. Like, I took my job seriously, right? This is a council member and I'd have all the... that. And then they'd go to the back and they're like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, just come on over. We'll have a barbecue. And this weekend we're going to do this. They're just puppeteering you. That's when I made the decision, I don't want to live like that. You know, I want to live in truth. Right? The result of trusting in the truth is that it strengthens your faith. But I mean, you really do. This is a work in progress. This is something that's not easy, trusting in truth. You know, because you got to get up and people are going to be like, oh, you read a book full of fairy tales. Right? I mean, that's insulting. You believe in your mythical, bigoted God, right? And if you're not grounded in truth, it'll shake you, right? I mean, so here's my little tongue twister. Hopefully it comes out right? But you trust in Christ and it leads to truth, and only believing in truth can you trust in Christ. So in order to be successful in life, it's not just enough to be saved, right? In life, here on this earth. Salvation is great. You're going to be saved. But if you want those rewards, not only on earth, but in heaven, you've got to trust in truth, and you got to have truth to trust. Right? I just didn't want to say that Ukraine was a country, and it's a small country, and Russia's a bigger country, and they're trying to take a smaller country, and that's why we have the war that's going on, right? Like, something like that. I probably said it better, but you have to trust the process in the Word of God. And a lot of people will go to heaven because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but not a lot will experience his full plan. They won't, right? Here on earth and in heaven, without trusting and resting on the scriptures. And this is the difficult part, right? The part that requires the work. See, we believe in works. We just don't believe in works for salvation. I mean, you better work hard. As a matter of fact, I've never worked harder in my life since I became saved and decided to commit to actually learning the Word of God. My life was, I mean, honestly, sometimes I'm like, I should just go back to my old life. I'm not kidding. I mean, I've had great jobs. They were paying me well. I clocked in. I clocked out. I had a weekend, vacations. I could do honeydews. I can't even, sometimes I can't, like, it's like, whoa, what's going on? I'm just keeping my head above water, right? Because you're just invested in the truth. And so, Go over to 1 Timothy. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I mean, that verse couldn't be more true today than it was in my entire lifetime, right? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I mean, literally, that should be slogan of every Baptist church that believes in truth. Not Trump, but trust. Right? I mean, literally, people think Trump is the savior. I wish I was exaggerating. Have you talked to the people that follow QAnon and all that stuff? Like, or what is it, Blue Max or Navy Max? I don't know what that, there's another, like, I guess, right wing, radical wing news something. And the things that they say, like, Newsmax, is it? And like Trump is like behind the scenes imprisoning people, and that's why you haven't seen a lot of these celebrities. And like, what is going on? And one day he's going to come in riding in a, I mean, like, I wish I was exaggerating, right? I've heard this stuff from people's mouths. I'm not going to tell you who. He's coming in, and when he shows up, it's going to end all world hunger and all sex slaves trafficking. I mean, literally, I've heard stuff. I'm like, what's going on? But it's because we've gotten away from the truth. We've gone away from the things that matter. 1 Timothy 3 is talking about the office of the pastor and deacons. And at the end, we see the responsibility for them that preach the truth, right? It says there in 1 Timothy 3:15, says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. See, the church needs to represent what? This foundation. And today, it's not. Right? I mean, it's we're far. I was talking about how I was asking somebody, I think I verified it. You know, Franklin Graham, I think he still says he's Baptist. What an insult to Baptist. That on day one of the convention, you get some idiot, satanic, demonic reprobate spewing some kind of mumbo jumbo. And then somehow 4 days later, it's okay for you to get up and pray in front of the same group. Like any Baptist worth, first of all, I mean, we wouldn't be there. But if you were there, any Baptist worth their salt would have gotten up and walked out and never come back. I mean, isn't that the story of a lot of people that got involved in politics? I was a Texas delegate for the Republican convention. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I ran for the national delegate. Like, I was trying to be, like, knee deep. I filed to be the mayor of the city of Houston. I filed in the wrong place. I didn't even know the process. I filed at the state. And it turns out you have to file in the city, or in the county, but I filed over I sent it to the Capitol, to Austin, Texas. I have the paperwork. I paid the due. I wanted to make a change. And the first call I got, like, first of all, I didn't even know how they found out. This is how you know it's all. And all of a sudden, it just started. Before it even started, it ended. And I got a call from Pastor Riggles. I don't know if you know who he is. He has one of the biggest mega churches in Houston. It's called Grace something. And he called me directly. And he's like, he's famous because he wrote a letter to Denise Parker saying, if you want my sermons, come get them, or something like that. And he's like, what's going on? I was like, well, I'm running. I said, I'm a Christian. I believe this and that. You know, he's like, well, but the other guy, we already kind of put our support behind him. I said, well, the guy's a fag. I didn't say it like that at the time. I said, he's a homosexual. Like, I said, the guy's, you know, he swings both ways. He's like, yeah, but we already put our support behind him. And I just knew right then and there that it was over. Like, I lost all flavor for it. But that's the reality of what we live in, right? These guys that say they're Christians, they're either too knee-deep in it or they just don't want to say anything about it. Just like Pastor Anderson, right? You know, tell us what you think, Pastor. But, you know, go to 2 Timothy, just one page over, and there in verse, in chapter 2, 2 Timothy, I mean, a couple pages over, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, that's the main thing. A lot of you guys get caught up in, you know, your keyboard warriors. I'm not saying you guys. I'm just saying in general, right? Christians, keyboard warriors, or you want to have that fight with that guy. You mean you're going to prove him wrong. And he says, who shall be able to teach others also. Not fight with others. Teach others. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangledeth himself with the affairs of this life. that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. See, the challenge with getting caught up in all the other truths is you're entangled in the affairs of this world. You're having an affair with Christ because you're so interested in who the shooters are, or, you know, who BlackRock is, or whatever. You know, I've seen all this stuff, right? I mean, it's almost impossible. Like, I guess I do need to just put my phone on airplane mode, and I get, because you get emails, and I mean, people just, they're sending you all this stuff, right? Like, and now you can get it in any form, Instagram message, Facebook Messenger, Telegram, Signal. I mean, there's this WhatsApp. It's just insane, the things that you can, the community of this, the community of that. But that's just entangling yourself in the affairs of this world, right? You need to remove all of that. And I'm going to close out with a good set of verses, but go to James, and I have two more verses, and I'll start to conclude. But in James 1, the Bible says there in James 1, verse 1, says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. And I love that. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture, wanting nothing. Really, my prayer for everybody, including myself, would be that we would want nothing but Christ. We'll never fully get there, but we can get close. You know, I know some good people that I'm like, man, that's a good model, right? And we should have models that are better than ourselves. The Bible says to esteem others better than ourselves, right? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But we already saw that in order to have faith, it's tied directly to what? Truth and true and trust. You can't separate them. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're not going to get the blessing of the Lord because we got a bunch of double-minded people. They want to go to church, but they also want to see Kid Rock at the Republican convention, right? And who knows? I mean, at this point, Jay-Z might show up at the Democratic convention for all we know, right? And so people are like, well, you know, I believe the Bible, but I also believe in the Constitution. And you know, I'm not knocking, the Constitution is a great document, but it's not the Bible. Amen. Oh, I believe this, but I believe the Bible, but I also, and you're just always on the wrong path. And then you're like, well, what is truth? And then you get all these existential explanations, and you're like, well, you know, and now you sound like just really dumb, right? Because it's really that simple. You know, conclusion, what's the conclusion? If you want the truth to make you free, really, truth is all that matters. It's all that matters. I mean, you can have the worldview of truth. You can understand absolute truth, but to understand it, it has to matter at the utmost, right? The result is that it strengthens your faith. Because who is truth? Jesus Christ, right? I mean, we either believe in him or we deny him. It's that simple. I mean, it really, people, even, you know, because I know we talk about like the reprobate and there's a spectrum, right? And we talk about the saved and then there's the lost world. But you know what? Once the lost world is lost forever, well, they're just in the same group as the reprobate. They're lost forever. They rejected Christ so much so that they didn't get him. And you spend all this time trying to convince them that Trump was the savior, instead of telling them they're going to hell for all eternity, right? You spend all this time trying to argue these super fancy ways of explaining the gospel. You know what I love about the new IFB? My favorite thing about the new IFB is a clear gospel message. Amen. You know, eternal security was like this foreign concept to me. I knew I was saved forever. As a matter of fact, I have it written in my journal. I was 25. I was saved at 7:15 a.m. on the northwest side of Houston, you know, on February 15th, 2005. And I said, I have perpetual rest. And then I didn't think about eternal security for years until somebody started preaching it to me. And then you run into people that are confused about that subject. They're saved, but they couldn't explain it to get themselves out of a paper bag, right? What's eternal security? I don't know. You could maybe lose it. Right? It's sad. And we were laughing, and I appreciate that there is humor in it, but really it's sad because they're the ones that are supposed to be doing the job. Amen. You know, I love preaching, but I think about all the failed attempts because I didn't have truth. Yeah. Right? I'm not talking about I was saved, but I wasn't in truth. I wasn't doing truth. And so I got on all these arguments, and I drove people away, and they might be going to hell. That's on me. It's on you, too, if you had those kind of conversations, right? But in conclusion, go to John 17. That's the last place I'll have you turn. The way to really anchor in on this is that the burden of proof, if you read John 8, you notice the burden of proof is not on Christ. It's on the enemy. Now, the devil's always trying to get you to backpedal. I love, because people, I've heard sermons like, what did Jesus write? But if you pay attention to John 8 at the beginning, I'm like, what didn't he say? He ignored him. He's like, I'm not going to play this game with you. What do you say about the law of Moses? And he just ignored him. And it says, as if he didn't hear them. What is it liking you to? I never knew you, right? I don't have time for this. You don't have time for that. You don't. Life is short. I'm telling you, I don't know, the days, I heard that saying, it's more true now than ever, right? What is it? The days are long, but the years are short. You'll be whatever age you're not thinking you're going to be sooner than you think. Let me just tell you that. 44 came way too quick. So we've got to stay the course. I'll read for you, John. Go to John 17. This is the last place I'll have you turn, verse 12. But in the third book of John, in verse 4, the Bible says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And we know the context. It's talking not only about, we can apply it to our children, but it's really our spiritual children, right? So it's not just, oh, I led a lot of people to Christ, but the greater joy is that you show up. You know, one of the reasons people like coming to Faithful Word, and I know people would like to give Pastor Anderson his due, and deservedly so, but also they like because they like seeing a church, and it gives them hope of the church that they could have, right? I like coming here, and I'm like, man, this is great. My daughter was like, Daddy, this is a big church. I was like, she's like, you think we'll ever have a church like that? I said, well, God gives the increase, but that's what we're headed for, right? Like, that's what we're shooting for. And it's not a competition or like a comparison. It's an encouragement. But the testament is to you. You don't have to show up on a Wednesday night when it's 100 degrees outside, right? But go to there, verse 12. You know, I thought it was bad when our people didn't want to show up, but it is hot. Like, I'm burned up here. But the Bible says there in verse 12, it says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And I love this. He prays for us, right? He says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth." Amen. Thy word is truth. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." So it's through Jesus that we get sanctified, right? "Neither pray I for those alone," I love this, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Right? He's praying not only for us, but for those who are going to believe because of the work that we're going to do. That's a big responsibility. People, oh, I read my Bible. Yeah, did you read John 17, verse 20? Well, yeah. Well, what is it? You know, I mean, obviously, I don't know if I've had this conversation, but couldn't that conversation go like that? that's a big responsibility. You know, I was talking, you guys know, I know sometimes I'm stating the obvious, but I talked to Brother Chris, and he has a lot of plans. But his plans are great. And he encouraged me, right? I want to get all these things and millions of people and talk to all these people. And it's all what about salvation? Because at the end of the day, what does it all matter? You know, I've run businesses. I still have to provide for my family. So even now I work. But the most frustrating thing about life is if you're just working a secular job, it's all in vain, the Bible says. I mean, just read the book of Ecclesiastes. We just finished. Like, the first time, I always tell people, the first time I read that book, I was like, wow, this is depressing. It's not until you really, right? The first time you read Ecclesiastes, you're like, wow, what is this book for? But you realize later it's talking about the flesh and how the spirit, you know, at the end of the day, everything that matters is God, is truth. So the goal today was just to get you to anchor more on the truth, right? The only way you're going to be made free is to really anchor in on that faith. Because the Lord's praying for not only us, but those that are going to believe because of the word that we preach them. So it's important for us to go out there and do it. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for the safe travels. And Lord, thank you for a church like this that edifies and admonishes the world. And it really is a sanctifying church, right? I mean, you either love the people at Faithful Word or you hate them. I mean, it's not one or the other. And so, you know, I really love this congregation. I'm really grateful. I'm thankful to everybody that showed me and my family kindness. Help us to have a great week, and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.